Hello, and welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about the current state of the DCEU and the Justice League Snyder Cut, and why there isn't a Snyder Cut, and why you shouldn't want a Snyder Cut. Of course, I'm my co-host, JT from Saskatoon.
Shazam!
Also with us is Red Ink.
Hey, what's up?
Alright, so like I said, let's first talk about the last movie that came out from the DCEU, Justice League. Underperformer for sure, mixed reviews, but honestly, I think this whole nonsense about a Snyder Cut is ridiculous. I mean, there is no Snyder Cut. I think Zack Snyder is trying to pump people up for a Snyder Cut just so he can force Warner Brothers to negotiate for him to be paid another couple million to go back in the editing bay, do some nonsense, and release some turd. And I think that would be a bad idea and a bad message because Snyder was fired for a reason. The problem wasn't firing Snyder. The problem was they didn't fire Snyder soon enough. For people who don't know, Zack Snyder's wife was actually a higher-up executive in Warner Brothers, which is why he was very protected, even with the critical failures of his earlier movies. It took three, four bombs in a row until they finally fired him? That's how protected he was. Red, your thoughts so far, just on this basis right here.
I think they should have fired him sooner. But like you said, he's protected.
Yes. And last night I actually showed Red some of the information of the scenes that were shot by Snyder that were wisely cut out. I mean, the biggest thing you have to keep in mind is Justice League was originally scripted to be two different movies, and then was shot to be a 3.5 hour long movie, and then again the movie we got 80% of the footage was shot by Zack Snyder, with 20% at most shot by Joss Whedon, and the final cut was made by Joss Whedon in an attempt, a Herculean attempt, to salvage a single coherent non-Snydery movie. And he did what he could with the footage he had. I think it was, like I said, a Herculean effort. But the problem wasn't that Joss Whedon got on Justice League. The problem was he didn't get on sooner. If he was brought on board at the beginning to direct, I think we would have seen a much different movie. I think that people want a Snyder Cut because they don't understand how a movie's made anymore. JT, your thoughts?
I agree with you on that last point about... what was your specific wording there about the cut, Ben?
The Snyder Cut or the Joss Whedon cut?
Just about how people expect these cuts to exist or something like that, but... I'm going to be honest, and you know me, I've got way more fanboy goodwill than the both of you combined, plus Infinity, but I wouldn't mind seeing a Snyder cut. I wouldn't mind seeing a Snyder cut if it had indeed existed, but the fact of the matter is it doesn't exist because he was like, what, 3/4 of the way done making the film when he left production.
Got fired.
Because got fired, his daughter took her own life. One reason or the other, it's just he wasn't working on the film no more. So there can't possibly be a Snyder Cut unless he somehow blackmails all the executives into letting him back into the editing suite, and you just hear maniacal laughter as he goes to work.
That's why he's trying to start this grassroots campaign of We Want a Snyder Cut is the grassroots campaign that he's trying to start, because he wants there to be such a big public pressure for Warner Brothers to do a Snyder Cut that they will have to pay him, like I said, another couple million dollars just to come back and do an edit.
And or they pay him some hush money to shut up.
Well, either way, he gets paid money. He doesn't care. He doesn't think that there's a better version of the movie that has to go out there for his artistic vision. He's not an Orson Welles or the guy who made Brazil, whose name escaped.
Terry Gilliam?
Yeah, he's not a Terry Gilliam. He's not a Ridley Scott.
He's not a Spielberg.
No, he's not. And so there is no idea that there's this artistic, grand artistic vision that he has to protect with his own cut. So people who say that, they're high off their rocker. The truth of the matter is, and Brandon and I talked about this last night, is people don't know how movies are shot anymore. Let's say that a movie is shot to where every shot that they take, every camera angle that they take, is that they frame, and every shot that they make is going to be the same shot that's going to be in the final cut of the movie, and they only do 10 takes for each shot. They would be done filming a movie in 3 weeks. And that's not how movies are shot anymore, or ever. Movies are shot to where they do slightly different dialogue with the same meaning. They shoot it from different angles. They shoot the same scene, the whole scene of a conversation, from three different times or three different angles at least. And keep in mind that three different times for three different angles with five different variations of dialogue, that's 15 different shots. Take, let's say, an average of 25 takes. That's like a whole 2 weeks of shooting just for one scene. And there's, again, like, for any movie, not just us, like for any movie, there's like 20 to 30 hours of just reels and reels and reels of footage that an editor can pick up and take and sequence together to make a movie. You can literally make a movie that has slightly different takes of each shot, because directors don't stop at one good take. They do two to three good takes with each angle. And you'll see slightly different performances. You could do that, and you could make almost the same movie of every movie you've ever seen. But the truth of the matter is Justice League, there was so much shit they had to cut out. There was so much shit. Let me tell you right now, the initial intent was Superman was going to get a black suit after his resurrection. And the intent was, in the final battle, which they had to redo the whole final battle because of this, in the final battle, there was going to be scenes where Superman's black suit keeps shifting back to the blue and red, because he's fighting off Darkseid's influence in him from being resurrected.
And his suit has got some sort of psionic technology in it that...
Yes.
He has a mood rock suit.
Yes. Basically, when he finally overcomes Darkseid's influence, the suit like becomes bright blue and shines, and the cape flutters out like wings. It was supposed to be symbolism, and it was going to be awful. And like I said, when Whedon saw that, I'm just pretending this is what Whedon said. Whedon saw that and says, "Oh hell no, let's call everybody. We need to reshoot the whole final battle now."
I think it would have been a little more like the stereotypical Tracy Morgan. Ah, hell nah!
That's a Will Smith, but...
They didn't really reshoot the final battle. Because there's scenes in there where if you watch Superman's symbol, it'll turn fucking silver for no reason.
They didn't reshoot all of it, but they reshot a good portion. Most of the reshoots were the final battle, is what I'm saying. They had to use some Snyder footage because it was just so expensive to take. You're right. You can see the shifting color still left in the final cut because of that. Other things that were in the original Snyder cut was a scene where the Green Lanterns, Kilowog, and Tomar Ray show up at Bruce Wayne's house just to say, "Hey, yeah, we're here. We can't help you. Bye." There was a scene where Cyborg is like diving in the net, and that's the scene where you see him walking in his Letterman jacket. That's supposed to be like a representation of him on the net.
Why is the net the Nazi fucking campaign or a Nazi occupied France?
I don't know. Maybe it was on Breitbart.com.
Ooh. Okay, so like, there's so much stuff that is cut out, and this is I know, systemic or emblematic or some fancy $10 word like that where they shoot specific stuff for the trailer that they never have any intention of having in the film. You know, like you have shots of like Victor walking down that street. You see shots of Victor playing football. That's never even appear. It's never even hinted at in the movie
itself.
No, that
was going to be in the movie. They were going to... That's another cutscene. They were going to do a whole origin story of Victor Stone, where they showed him, after the big game, him and his mother in a car, driving home, talking about the big game, getting a car wreck that kills his mother and mangles his body. And that was going to immediately cut to the scene where his father uses the... You know, his father, before inventing Skynet, uses the mother box that fucks him like the puzzle cube from Hellraiser. This is all going to be in the movie.
Okay. But so just to get back to my thing about the Snyder Cut, like I said, I wouldn't have mind. I would have liked to have seen a Snyder Cut if it existed. The thing about Zack Snyder, despite many personal failings from what you guys have both told me, you know, the whole human skull thing is just kind of creepy and ick. He does have an eye for action scenes. You look at his work in 300, in Sucker Punch, even a lot of the stuff in Man of Steel. He's got a certain eye, a certain flair for action scenes. He does that sort of thing very well.
May I counter-argue that?
Well, I'm not done, but you may. Just give me a moment. I'm just saying... I enjoy that part of his work from previous outings.
Okay. Let me tell you about what you just talked about. 300. He opened up the graphic novel, lined up his viewfinder with the paneling, and said, okay, shoot.
I was actually going to mention that, Ben, but it's just, like I said, he shoots action scenes very well. But like 300, copy and paste, Sucker Punch, I think he was trying to get a kind of artsy with the whole, like, with the script and how that story was going. And there's a whole lot of style over substance, because, I mean, honestly, I saw the trailers for that, and I see Emily Blunt in the schoolgirl uniform swinging a sword, fighting this giant cybernetic samurai with a giant, you know, minigun, and I'm like, cool, let's see this. And then I watched the movie, and it's like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be at all.
The biggest thing you got to keep in mind with Sucker Punch was that was going to be like his Tarantino-esque movie, and it was a failure. I mean, it was him trying to prove that he was a big boy director, and he isn't.
That's true. I'm just saying, I would have liked to see the Snyder Cut. But yeah, it's just so much of what Joss came in and did afterwards, you know, let's not, you know, pull any punches. He was slathering this thing in whatever he did for Avengers all over this thing. They were trying to Avengers the hell out of Justice League to engender some sort of positive fan reaction. I mean, there's the whole thing, like the huge internet argument when you see in the trailer, oh, you showed up. Well, let's hope you're not too late between Alfred, and everyone says, oh, there's that little bit of green at the edge of the screen.
No, it's
totally going to be. Yeah, it's Superman. But everyone, because there's just that barest hint of green there, everyone's like, oh, Hal Jordan's going to be in this. And he wasn't. We got, you know, the two Green Lanterns with the first battle against Steppenwolf and his forces in this film. My big problem with, and specifically Steppenwolf in this movie, is they're trying to make him Thanos. They are trying in the span of one movie to make this guy Thanos and make him this big thing. I mean, the CGI wasn't even that good. I think the actor's name was Ciaran Hinds. He's the guy who played the devil in Ghost Rider Spirits of Vengeance. He did the voice for Steppenwolf. And even if it was that level of CGI, and that's what Zack Snyder was working with before Joss Whedon came on, you weren't lighting any fire underneath the CGI artist guy. That was plain. It was underwhelming at best. It's like all this silver armor. Like, there was nothing distinctive or memorable about this. It's like, oh, look, it's a villain with horns. He's evil. He can catch a missile and throw it back at the heroes. Ooh, so powerful. And, like, there was no threat there. I mean, I was more scared of the frickin' parademons than anything in this movie. I mean, the big bad of the film, to borrow a Joss Whedon term, the big bad, I was just like, yeah, you go have fun taking over the world.
Well, even then, Whedon publicly said Steppenwolf sucked as a villain for this movie. People got mad at him for tweeting it, but he said it, and he's right. Again, Whedon worked with what he had. I mean, he could not... He did what he could with what he had, and I think, again, it's like... I think that makes me even more interested in what he could have done if he shot the whole thing from the beginning. But, again, I think that makes it the concept of a Snyder Cut even more horrifying, because I showed Red a list of everything that Joss Whedon cut out. And, Red, what was the worst part of that list?
The worst part?
Yeah.
Was Mommy's actually inside the fucking mother box.
Yes. Steppenwolf's mother is inside the box.
What?
Yes.
Okay, did anybody working on this film even remotely cast an eye towards the history of the Fourth World?
No.
Apparently not. Yeah, so the Snyder Cut, it's a myth. It's not going to happen, folks. Like I said, I would like to see it. I have no problem watching a three-hour cut of a superhero movie of this magnitude.
I just think, again, it's... I think the concept of if there's a reel of footage, we have to see it is poisonous to movies as a whole because, again, movies are shot in such a way that there are miles and miles and miles of reels that should not be seen. A good example of this, again, is the original Star Wars, The New Hope. The way George Lucas originally cut the film, there were like 3 to 4 intercuts in between the original opening space battle and Luke on the ground looking up with the binoculars. And this footage is just slows down the pacing, slows down the action, and kills the movie. But this footage exists, and there are people that says, oh, well, it exists, I have to see it. And it's like, no, you don't. You really don't. Just don't. You don't have to see it. Red, you got thoughts on that?
I swear to God, I've seen it. Long before it came up, long before
it's possible. It was revealed. It's actually possible because what television networks do is they're given extra reels of footage and are told to make their own TV cut when they do a TV airing. So It's very possible that someone like CBS did a TV cut using that footage. It's 100% possible. I've known people say that they've seen the Biggs Darklighter scene. And, oh my God, what a horrible name! It on a TV airing. It's
you're gonna complain about Biggs Darklighter with a guy named Luke Skywalker, really?
Well, at least his name is a Kane Starkiller.
That would have been cool.
With a robot head.
Yeah, I mean, I read.
And Han Solo is a frogman, and the C-3PO talks like a slimy used car salesman.
Ben, you can keep giving me details like this. This isn't going to wane my interest in seeing something like that. I mean, I've got the trade of the Star Wars, the comic series that was ostensibly based on the original vision of the Star Wars as it was first known before it became, you know, Episode 4 and A New Hope and all that. Now, I mean, when you look at the greater, like the rest of the DCEU as a whole, like, unlike Iron Man, DC was, because I mean it's after Avengers has hit and they're already behind in terms of sales, like they were plotting this from the beginning, however fragmented and ill-advised it was. But I mean, we had Man of Steel, we had BVS, we had Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman. Out of the 5 films we've got so far, the ones I've loved the most were Wonder Woman and Suicide Squad. I mean, Squad, for all its faults, there is a lot of fun there, you know. I'm just saying that I enjoyed it. It's not perfect, and it is far from, but I enjoyed it.
Urges to Kill Rising.
Okay there, Homer. You know, Wonder Woman was great. It wasn't perfect. I mean, there's all the people that complained about how, well, it's set in a world war and her guy's named Steve. And so, of course, why'd she have to fall in love with him so quickly? Yeah, because in the world of fantasy, shit can happen on a dime like that. you know, I enjoyed Wonder Woman. I enjoyed it. It's my favorite out of the five films so far. I mean, out of the five we got so far, Red, what's the one film you enjoyed the most?
Probably Wonder Woman.
Okay.
I'd say Wonder Woman, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, Wonder Woman was like a B at best. I mean, and...
Well, I'm not saying it was an A. It was the most competently made.
The biggest problem with the DCEU is the fact that other than Patty Jenkins, you don't have any strong directors that are able to hold their own in a room full of committee thinkers. I mean, she's the... as I've famously said before, you know, there was a committee full of producers and people that were, quote, the custodians of the DCEU from Warner Brothers. And she had to fight, and she did fight, for the No Man's Land sequence that Snyder wanted to take out of the movie and use as interspersed montage cuts for scenes of Wonder Woman doing heroics versus a singular scene. And, you know, Patty Jenkins is being rewarded for her success because she's the only director that quote found their balls and was able to like stand up to these people and say, no, I know what's going to make a good movie. That didn't save it from a you know, blasé final villain and you know, lukewarm final act, but the movie itself was still enjoyable. And you know, back to the Marvel universe, you know, even successful directors are still micromanaged to death. Jon Favreau is a great example. Jon Favreau made Iron Man work, and he was still micromanaged to death to make Iron Man 2 into Avengers 0.5. And he did his best. And an interesting thing is, if you look at there's actually a whole alternate sequence in Iron Man 2. Of a final confrontation between Tony Stark and Whiplash at the park where Whiplash is holding Pepper hostage.
Mm-hmm.
And basically there was this whole running gag throughout the whole movie establishing that Tony has like a ball of super tech silly putty, and he uses it to temporarily blind Whiplash and then defeat him. And again, like I said, there's so much reels of footage that when Favreau finally cut the movie, he cut the whole techno silly putty out and instead opted for the Whiplash in the armor suit scene. And they were also going to have a scene where the ex-wife actually worked as a bunker buster versus the comedic fart it did.
Hammer tech.
Yeah, exactly. There, so again, a very different tonal ending was shot for Iron Man 2, and honestly, again, like I said, Favreau was not rewarded for jump-starting this cinematic universe. He was punished by editorial mandate, and for his thanks of towing the line, he was pretty much blacklisted from directing another Marvel movie. Because of Iron Man 2's critical performance.
He wasn't blacklisted. He left.
You are technically correct. You're right. He went to make Chef, which was a much more enjoyable movie. The point remains, though, is that that's just an example of how much extra footage is shot when you make a movie. That there was this whole running storyline about silly putty in Iron Man 2 that no one's seen.
I liked Iron Man 2 for what it was. I would have liked to have seen, again, going back to the whole, they shoot stuff for the trailers that don't show up in the movies. I wanted to see that scene where, you know, in the trailer where Tony asks Pepper a kiss for luck and she kisses the helmet and pitches out the plane and, you know, it's like, you complete me. And, you know, that would have been great to see in the movie, you know. It's like that whole Luke Skywalker thing. I'm not saying it would have done anything for the movie. I would have liked to have seen that shot. You see the flashes of, you know, laser fire in space and Luke looking up like that. That would have been a cool little get. But, you know, we didn't get that. And, you know, you got to move on. But, I mean, you look at the extended universe as it's going. I mean, before even Justice League came out, they're talking about doing the Flashpoint movie. And if you know DC Comics at all, Flashpoint is the miniseries that they used to reboot their entire universe in 2011 or 2010, 2011, and have largely since rolled a shit ton of that back, because the previous DC universe has largely been pulled back now. But they're already worried about rebooting their universe. I mean, we haven't even gotten, we got Jason Momoa's Aquaman coming out this year. I am really excited for that, like stupidly so, because Aquaman was like my favorite part of Justice League. I
agree. I think that the Aquaman movie, if done the right way, would be great. I think the biggest problem was with Aquaman was tonally, you could tell Zack Snyder wanted something very different with Momoa's performance, and the Aquaman we got in the movie instead worked better because it was just him having the time of his life, and that worked far better because you could tell what Zack Snyder wanted was an Aquaman that was like, I'm a badass, and then all of a sudden, basically now in the Whedon cut, we have a guy who's, more comedic, but not like comedy relief. More lighthearted, more fun-loving, more of a surfer bro than someone who's about to rip someone's spine out.
Well, he's Aqua Bro. So, I mean, how about you, Red? You looking forward to Aquaman?
Not really.
Not your cup of tea?
No, it's just that DC's let me down so much that I don't look forward to any of their movies.
You're just so beaten down by years of neglect that you're just kind of like, whatever.
Pretty much.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, there was some scenes cut for Aquaman and Cyborg in Justice League that would have given, like Ben said earlier, we're going to get Victor's origin. There's going to be a bigger scene where, Aquaman goes to Atlantis to claim the armor and the, I'm calling it a trident. I know it's got 5 points. I'm just calling it a trident. To get that in the pitchfork, sure. To get the magic armor and the pitchfork, and he runs into Mira and Volko, who's a character for the comics, was played by Willem Dafoe. They just cut that scene for some reason. We've talked about this previously. I would hope some way to have, not necessarily that scene, but I hope they reincorporate Volko and Mira more into the Aquaman. I hope they're actual legit characters instead of, hey, here's the future wife of Aquaman, and she's giving him a talking to in Justice League, and then Aquaman's like, can I borrow something? That's all it was. I'm really looking forward to Aquaman. I hope it does well. Can't wait to see more of Jason Momoa, because the dude, I've been a fan of his since Stargate Atlantis, Roden Dex, some of the other stuff he's done since then, Game of Thrones, the show Frontier. You even see some of the interviews he does. Like, this dude is a bro. I am a fan. I'm looking forward to this. I'm also looking forward to Shazam, because, goddamn, Chuck Bartowski, Zach Levi, he's added like 20, 25 pounds of muscle. We've seen the shots from the set of him in costume. Now, yeah, there's going to be padding.
I think it looks like the big red cheese. I am pleased by the costume.
Yeah. What do you think? Have you seen those shots, Red?
I'm the one who showed you those shots.
Okay. So, are you looking forward to Shazam?
Kind of. But like I said, I'm not looking forward to any DC movie at all. I like the big red cheese. And if anything, you want to get me into a new fucking DC Universe movie, that's the way to go, is you use Captain Marvel. Unfortunately, I don't like how they're using his new 52 costume.
Oh, you just want the classic red and gold?
I agree about the hoodie. I agree about the hoodie, but the one thing I do have to say is the bracers are perfect. I did not expect them to do the bracers that accurate.
The bracers were good. I also like the little subtle nod to Mr. Takitani in the clasps for his cape have got tigers set into it. And I'm kind of hoping, I would like to see, maybe in the sequel, if he doesn't show up in like a end credit scene here, I would like to see the classic Takitani, like the lovable, affluent, you know, slick tiger in a suit sort of thing. And if I could cast a voice for him, I would like to get Mr. Paul F. Tompkins as the voice of Takitani. I would love to see that. More than likely, if they're using their new 52 suit, I'd say greater odds that Takitani might be in here, but he's going to be this giant-ass tiger in the zoo, like they did in the comics. So,
I think, again, what we're getting is we just have to be wary of what we're getting. I think Aquaman has the potential of being good. I think they have a great cast there. I think they have a great lead actor. I think basically they're working against whatever was put in place beforehand. I hope that Snyder was fired enough ahead of time before pre-production that basically there's a clean slate with Aquaman. I'm doubting it, but I think that's the only way we can be sure, because I think tonally what the whole DCEU needs is just a breath of fresh air. Open up the windows, open up the doors, and let the fart that is known as Snyder out of the building.
Yeah. I mean, pardon me. You look at the great, like, the five confirmed films so far we have coming up in, like, you know, if we use Justice League as the Avengers, and this is the end of Phase 1. Phase 2, we've got Aquaman this year, Shazam and Wonder Woman 2 next year, Cyborg in 2020, and Green Lantern Corps in 2020. Now, of those three forthcoming films we haven't seen much of, like, okay, Wonder Woman 2, they cast Kristen Wiig as the cheetah, and everyone is losing their goddamn minds. Oh, the film sucks already. Oh, she can't do it. And you know my policy? Let's see. You know, change your pace. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. The proof is in the pudding. We have yet to have the pudding. I mean, I wouldn't have cast Kristen Wiig because, you know, I grew up on, you know, George Perez and Diodato art on Wonder Woman, and every character that was a superhuman in that is drawn like a freaking supermodel. And my male brain is just geared towards statuesque women with large fun bags on the front. I make no apologies for that. I am the way I am. But if not Kristen Wiig, can either of you guys think of an actress you would like to see in the role of the cheetah? Me personally, I'd say get Angelina Jolie in there. She would probably do it better. But again, I haven't seen Kristen Wiig's performance, so I can't say for certain.
I would hire somebody who looks like a complete bitch at all times.
So like Angelina Jolie?
No, Charlize Theron.
That would have been good, yes.
How about you, Ben?
I think Charlize Theron would be the perfect pick.
Yeah, I could be swayed. Either or. I mean, we got Cyborg coming up. See, the one thing that really bothered me about the Cyborg in the Justice League film is how they gave him, like, a crushed, his suit, his body looked like a pile of crushed tinfoil with, like, the red highlight of his power core in his chest like that. And I'm sorry, if you, by the end of the film, we see him, like, hey, Dad, check this out. And he, like, morphs into his new 52 thing. Why didn't you do that before? I mean, if you can do this already and you still hate yourself, wouldn't you try and make your body look a little more tolerable? You know, why did they wait till the end shot like that? I think it's wasted potential. I mean, you could have done that suit and then have him wear an actual costume and just add CGI highlights to make it look like it's cybernetic armor. You know, as you've said, Red, you're the only one you're looking forward to really is Shazam, and that's because of your love for the big red cheese. But think you'd have any interest in the Green Lantern Corps?
Oh, fuck no.
No, not as right now. I think we need
Ryan Reynolds is nowhere near this film, guys.
The problem is this. Go ahead.
Ryan Reynolds did not ruin Green Lantern. It was not his fault at all. It was the fact that they went and hired Jeff Johns, and Jeff Johns stuck his stupid little fucking finger into the fucking movie and completely ruined it. So at the end, they had to fight a stupid fucking fart cloud
He is not wrong.
Yellow Fear Monster?
He is not wrong. The biggest problem with... Again, we're getting off track. The important thing to keep in mind with the DCEU is we have to take it one movie at a time. I want to see Aquaman before I have thoughts on the rest of this the extended universe, and I think that that's a fair assessment to make. I think I'm hopeful for Shazam because I like the costume, but Aquaman first. After that, we'll talk. Before then, we won't talk, because before then, it's like... Red's right. We've been burned too many times. You know, Momoa made a great performance. So you know, the cast is great. William Dafoe, Amber Heard. Everyone else looks great, but we have to see the movie first, and that's all there is to it. And before then, we can't make long-term judgments on the state of the DCEU. In fact, there is a good chance that if Aquaman doesn't do well, they might slash the plan again. So we just need to wait and see.
Yeah. No, I mean, the only thing further on development, like, you go to the wiki for the DC Extended Universe, you can see all the, it's in the section 2.3 in development, two films of note, and one, it's not The Batman. And don't worry, Ben, they're not adapting your favorite Batman cartoon. I'm looking forward to the purported Black Adam film starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm a huge fan of his. I think he'll do well. He certainly hasn't made too many stinkers outside of Southland Tales that I haven't liked of his work. So I'm looking forward to that. And the only other thing, I love the fact that they're trying from the time the comic came out, they wanted to make a film version of Justice League Dark. However, do you guys know what the original title for that movie was going to be?
No.
Dark Universe.
Ha 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 ha.
And Universal said, hey, that's a great idea. And no, it wasn't Universal. You want to make a horror movie? Make a horror movie. Do not turn it into a goddamn superhero flick with slight monster overtones. And also, you should have cast somebody besides Tom Cruise. He's a great actor, but he was mugging way too much for that film.
The biggest problem with that whole concept was they should have, well, number one, not do it. Number two is the Universal monster thing as a new universe could have worked, but they shouldn't have tried to make it like a superhero thing. Number three is if they wanted to like do a pulp hero thing, they should have just revived the... League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but no one wants to touch that. But you know, let's
just make the movies a period piece.
But let's go ahead and wrap this up. Any final thoughts or final says on the state of the DCEU, other than wait and see, Aquaman, and then we'll talk.
Like I said, three things. One, I would watch a Snyder Cut if it existed. Two, I'm really looking forward to Aquaman, and I hope it does well. Three, even if the Big Red Cheese movie is on the level of Justice League, I'll probably still loving it because it's the Big Red Cheese, and if you can't love Captain Marvel, then you can't love comic books. Red?
I'll watch the Captain Marvel movie, but Carol Danvers fucking... costume looks weird. Why the fuck is it green?
I don't know. Brie Larson looks kind of cute in that getup, so.
Alright.
But what about the Shazam movie? You looking forward to that?
Like I said, I'm not really looking forward to anything.
He's been burned one too many times, but that's a good place for us to wrap up. Well, that's our state of the DCEU, and the Snyder Cut. Everyone, for the love of God, stop asking for a Snyder Cut. This show's Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Reading.
And we're saying goodnight.
So long.
Peace out.